Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to spend these next few minutes with me as we look into the Word of the Lord. And on yesterday's broadcast, we started looking at a few passages found in Chronicles 28 and 29. And what we find recorded in those chapters is the record of what was said and done at the time that the temple, the first temple, was being erected, the plans that David made. And while it was in his heart, he wanted to build this beautiful edifice for the Lord, yet God said through his prophet that he was not to do that. He was not to build it because he was a man of war, but that his son Solomon would be given that privilege. Nonetheless, David, as is recorded in that 29th chapter, I share those first nine verses approximately, that he showed by his example, by his demonstration, by what he did. He said, I've set my affections on the house of my God. I've prepared with all of my might, with all of his strength. It was something very, very important to him. Not only had he set aside things for the house of the Lord, but out of his own personal treasure, he had contributed of gold and silver. He personally gave because he loved God so much, and he wanted to bring the Lord glory where God's people could come and worship him. And so we see that David's example that is recorded in the scriptures is one of great love and generosity and liberality. And of course, we know in other places, David is described as a man after God's own heart. Not only was he filled with the Spirit of the Lord and had the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, if you will, but also his heart was set after or pursuing after or seeking after God. And David is an example for us. And of course, we know also that in many places in Scripture, David was a type of Christ. Many of the Psalms begin to speak about David, but then it merges into messianic references, which of course could only apply to Jesus Christ. But Jesus is referred to as the Son of David, that there would be one who followed in the bloodline of David to sit on his throne forever. And of course, Jesus is the one who will fulfill that promise that was made to David. David sought first the kingdom of God. And we know from the Psalms that David spoke to his Lord, and he, even though he is, who you would sit on the throne would be the Son of David, there is an example that David's greater Lord was doing the very same thing. And I'm referring, of course, to Jesus. Jesus prepared with all of his might for the new spiritual house of God. Think about that. David was so zealous, so earnest, and did everything he could with his own strength and his own desire to make a beautiful, beautiful physical house, temple for God. Yet that's what Jesus did for his Father in our behalf. As we read the Gospels, as we learn of his life and ministry, we find that he set his affection upon this great work. Think about that. He gave of his own untold wealth of grace and suffering, and he left us the example to follow. The Lord was perfect in all of his ways. There was no sin found in him. As a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. In verse 5 of that 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David asks, "Who then is willing to consecrate his service unto the Lord?" And David issued a challenge to the leaders of the nation, similarly, to devote their wealth to God. And the expression consecrating himself, that literally means filling his hand. And this was a technical term for the consecration of the priests. Remember in Exodus, the 28th chapter, verse 41, the word says, "And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother," he was speaking of the clothing that was designed especially for them, "and his sons with him, and shall anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office." The implication is that the willingness of the people's offering of their substance to God constitutes an act of consecration to him. It's not merely the gift that is being dedicated. Think about that, beloved. But it's also the giver. And so, beloved, when you give of your finances, when you give of your talents, your abilities, your time, it is an expression of consecration to the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? That's something you may have never thought of before. You know, there are multitudes who are willing to fill their hands with service, but if we're really honest, sometimes it has to be admitted that they're providing it works around to their own profit and benefit. Few are willing to have full hands for God solely and singly. Full hands simply imply wholeheartedness. Half-empty hands mean half-empty desire, half-empty lives. Who then is willing? And that is the call that's going out today by the Spirit of the Lord. He's asking, who is willing to consecrate themselves to build the house of the Lord? And think about it, beloved, it's a call for voluntary service. There's no demand made. It's not required. However, this call is also sacrificial. It means a laying down of your life. You know, it's possible to accept salvation, to make it in to heaven, if you will, but it's a whole nother thing to become a disciple, because there's a price, there's a cost. If you're going to be a disciple, you have to deny yourself. Isn't that what Jesus said? And then you have to take up your cross daily and follow him. The cross is not a pleasant experience. It's the things that we have to go through, sacrificing our own desires, our own natural preferences for the greater good of the Lord. And the marvelous thing is, whenever we do that, every single act of love, every single act of dedication, of consecration, is noted down by the Lord. He knows how we sacrifice for him. He knows the things that we do, even if our flesh doesn't want to do it. Yet we do it because we love him, because we want to see his purposes served. We want to see his kingdom advance, just as David gave willingly, just as Jesus suffered such great contradiction of sinners against himself because he delighted to do the Father's will. He said that was his meat, that was his drink. He did nothing but that the Father was pleased. He was doing whatever his Father asked of him. And the greatest sacrifice that he did, to lay down his life, he shrunk from that. He said, "Father, all things are possible with you." In the garden, in that great agony, he said, "Is there some other way? Can you take this cup from me that I don't have to drink it? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Oh, beloved, have we come to that place of surrender and consecration to the Lord that we are willing to do that? It's an urgent call. It's voluntary, it's sacrificial, but it's this day. The king's business requires quick and faithful action. Beloved, the days are exceedingly evil. We are in the end times, the end of the end, the final closing hour, if you will, of the midnight hour. And what do we see in Scripture? In verse 6, we see the response. "Then the chief of the fathers, the princes, the captains, with the rulers, offered willingly. And what a source of joy and rejoicing. Verse 9 states, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Hallelujah. When the heart is perfectly yielded to the claims of the Holy Spirit on our lives and of God's work and of His kingdom, the hands will soon be filled with voluntary offerings. We do it because we love Him so much. Sister Glass, you're talking about money? You're referencing finances? Yes. Yes, I am. But more than that, it's faithfulness. It's worship. It's staying where God put you. It's praise. It's thanking the Lord. It's giving Him everything, surrendering to Him. It's witnessing of the power of God's grace to those around you. It's a total determination to give no place to the devil. What is needed is a perfect heart to make the service and whatever we do acceptable unto the Lord. And what do the scriptures tell us in the New Testament? The Lord loves a cheerful giver. When we look at what they had to offer, the gifts were different in value, but all were needed and all were acceptable. Iron may have been the best that some had, but they gave it. Gold, silver, precious stones. There would never be any lack in the house of God, spiritually or financially, if those connected with it had this perfect heart toward the Lord. And unfortunately, so often the characteristics of professing Christians is that they just mind earthly things. Beloved, the only limitations we have in our lives in serving God are those that are self-imposed. Well, my time has come to an end, and we'll continue this on tomorrow's broadcast, A Call for Consecrated Service. I do thank you for joining me, and as always, I give an invitation. If you have prayer needs, to please feel free to email or to write, send a brief note, whatever those needs are in your life, whatever battles you're facing, whatever trials you're going through, God is a very present in the time of trouble, and there's power in agreeing prayer. I love you. Thank you for your faithful prayers. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.